turn your Bibles to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. If you didn't bring a Bible and you want to look in a Bible in your pew, the numbers are up there. And you could, we'd love to have you turn there. We're mostly going to park there this morning. I've got just a few other scriptures I'll bring to it. But that's where we're going to be. Let me read the text, and then we'll get to the message. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment in time. We thank you for an opportunity to come together in freedom and proclaim to you that you are worthy of our time, of our worship. And Father, we are so grateful to know you through faith in Jesus Christ and have you over our lives, knowing all that is set before us and able to take us through the darkest and deepest challenges, the toughest valleys. Thank you for that. Thank you for the expression of love that we will never get our minds around on this side of heaven, that you sent your one and only Son for sinners such as I. We give you praise for that. Father, we are a people in great need of your assistance today. We need to hear from heaven. We need you to speak into our lives. We need you to move in so many ways. Father, I pray that right now we will just get low before you and your word. And I pray that we will open our hearts to you, that your spirit might speak to us and challenge us and convict where needed, encourage where needed, but move in and through the word that we might be the people that you've called us to be. We thank you that we have such a Savior as we can look to him. And we ask and come to you in his name. Amen. Today I want to talk to you about the most critical relationship in life. Life is all about relationships. We're going to look vertical today. Next week we'll look horizontal with others. Personal relationships, as you know, can stress us. They can disappoint us. They can challenge us. But also, they can give us great hope and joy and blessing in this life. How we act and react within the relationships that God has provided is vitally important. And the Word of God gives us clear teaching on that subject. But there's one relationship that supersedes all others. That is the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. This is the most critical of all. We have entered this relationship to God through faith in him. And he is to be our focal point of our walk of faith as we move forward with the Lord. Why is that? Well, because as we look to him, we are given courage and endurance in this marathon of faith that helps us to run in such a way as to win. So we look to him. When we consider Jesus, we have the best example in everything and in every way. How do you handle worry? Look to Jesus. How about disappointment? You look to him. You listen to him. What about trials? Again, he has much to say there. As we look to him, we observe someone in tune with the Father's will, to the point that all that he ever did in life was fill it to the extent that everything the Father wanted him to do, he obeyed. Looking to Jesus, you see a man's man. His meekness can sometimes be understood to be weakness, but I want to tell you that Jesus was power on earth under control. In Jesus, we see a man whose compassion knew no boundaries as he maneuvered through the social confines of his day. There wasn't anybody he wouldn't touch, nobody that he thought was too far gone. He would minister to all that would want his touch. We look to him. Jesus is the perfect example in all things. I need to say that before we go any further. I want you to know in this scripture, God calls us to a race of faith, to run with endurance. And that takes a lot, and we're to do so without becoming weary. This marathon of faith can wear us out. I think many of you have felt that way before. How many of us have been exhausted to the point where we've just felt like throwing in the towel? I think we all have a time or two. Pastor friend of mine, I remember him speaking to that, and he mentioned this. Every time he felt like throwing in the towel, God would throw it back. I love that. I love that picture. Because if we look to Jesus, we'll understand that there's no giving up. God will see us through. How do we keep from becoming weary and losing heart? We've all faced it. How do we do that? We look to Him. How do we run with endurance? We look to Him. And as we do that, as we look to Him, we will cultivate a growing relationship with Him that will help us to get through. The teaching today, I believe, has the possibility to completely change and transform our lives. This is important. So we look and we keep looking to Jesus. There are three truths that I really want to camp out on this morning that this text reveals as far as running to win and how we do that. The first is this: run light. Run light. Verse 1 of chapter 12, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also, here it is, lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run. Run light. When you get off track and see it for what it is, we need to confess to the Lord that we are, that's where we are. It means that we need to agree with Him in what He says in the Scriptures. See, running light is about keeping short accounts of sin with God. This sin that so easily entangles us, I believe specifically, is a sin of unbelief, but it can be anything. It's a burden we're carrying. It's something we've been dealing with, and we're not being honest with ourselves or with God about it. And so that can weigh on us through the day and through the weeks and through the years. I believe there are Christians that are carrying so much, and they need to be carrying nothing. And God has made a way to unburden them with that sin. He speaks to it. Psalm 32, 1 through 5, listen to this. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Amen. Amen. We don't need to carry it. There's a cross where that was paid for. You need to run light. You need to run light. Verse 2, how blessed is a man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit. This is David speaking. He's talking about a time in his life when he was carrying a heavy burden of sin. God knew it. He had to come to grips with it. He says this, look at how it affected him. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as the fever heat of summer. That's what carrying sin does. It entangles, it burdens. And for God's people, there's a way to get rid of that. It's through confession. It's through saying, God, I see it. I've gotten over in a place I ought not to be. Your Spirit and your Word has spoken to me about it, and here it is. Here it is. I confess it to you, and you forgive me my sin. Praise God. I acknowledge my sin to you. My iniquity I did not hide. I said, I'll confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. That's what God does. Is He not good? Praise His name. He's made a way. And none of us need to be carrying this weight of sin. I would say in this congregation, some of you today, God is speaking to you right now about something regarding your heart, regarding your walk. Maybe you've been resisting, but you know what? When we acknowledge our sin, guess who's waiting? When you turn around, guess who's there? Our great God. Our great God. This earlier in the fall, in around August, I was talking to an individual who's going to go on a backpack hunt in the Rockies. He was pursuing elk. And he had trained and trained and trained, and he was going to go on a five-day trip with simply his backpack and the food and the clothing and everything he needed. It was all going to be on his back. He would carry his bow as well, but guess what he was doing? He was counting the ounces. You know why? He didn't want to carry any more than he absolutely needed to, because that would inhibit him hunting the way that he wanted to hunt, with as light a load as he could carry. I was the opposite when I first started bow hunting. I threw in canned goods. That's another story. I was carrying a heavy weight of burden. But why was he counting those ounces? Because he wanted to be able to operate at the greatest mark of freedom, be able to do what he needed to do with as little inhibiting him as could be. 1 John 1:9, this is so sweet. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The key to running light is to acknowledge our sin before God. If we don't deal with it, it'll hamper how we run, because it entangles us and weighs us down. Friends, run light, run free. Allow his word to speak to you. Be honest with what God already knows. Agree with him about it. That's repentance. Give it to him and go in freedom. Go in freedom. Don't carry that burden, that weight, that sin that weighs you down. Give it to him. It's been paid for at the cross. Go in grace, go in freedom, my brother and sister. That's the first thought. Run light. Run light. This is a race, this walk of faith. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And you and I need to run light. Secondly, in this relationship that is most critical, we are to run steadfastly. Again, look at verse 1. Let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Keep running. Keep plodding. Again, it's not a sprint. We are participating in a lifelong event until the Lord calls us home. When you awakened from your sleep this morning, you joined others in this race of life. Every day that God grants us is a day that we are to keep running. We're going to run steadfastly. The idea here is simply to keep going. Keep going. Don't give up on running this race of faith as the Lord gives you grace, and the grace is there to run. It's there. And it's to be run with endurance. Endurance here is to bear up under a heavy load. If you've been a Christian for very long, you have experienced at times a heavy load, a burden, a weight that is heavy. God gives you the grace to endure, and he will. Believe it, brother. Believe it, sister. He is working all things out for good. He lays things on us at times to shape us, to make us more like Christ. Keep running the race. Be steadfast. Do it steadfastly. You know, this race, as we go, it's like a marathon. It takes bearing up. It takes feeding the soul. And a marathon can wear heavy on the body. Nobody runs a race without it taking something out of them. You might say, well, Pastor, you know, I kind of bear those scars a little bit. I say, praise God, welcome to the race, just like those before us. They've all felt those times when you take a shot here or there, or something happens, it hurts, it knocks you down. But as I read in Scripture, the righteous man falls seven times but gets up. He keeps running. He keeps running. Don't give up. That's the thing I want to say to you. Keep running. There are others that have run before us. This is so encouraging to me. This 11th chapter, it's full of individuals that ran this marathon, that ran this race. And it took something out of them. Turn back to the 11th chapter. I don't know if I'm just looking at a few names here. Verse 4, Abel. This chapter, by the way, this 11th chapter, it's just these heroes of faith, men and women, much like you and I, who kept running, who kept looking to the Lord. We can take encouragement from them. But it wasn't a cakewalk. It was a marathon. It was hard. They had to endure. See, Abel, it was a tough road for him. You don't go very far. And you see Noah. How would you like to build the first boat in front of the whole world? It not yet rained. People are looking at you, thinking, what is wrong with old Noah and his kids? Look at that. He endured. He kept preaching. He kept building. He kept going. You walk through those. You see Abraham. You see Sarah. You see Moses. You see Joseph. Those are all a study in and of themselves. They endured. They kept looking in faith to God. We look in faith to our Lord Jesus. We look to Him. But they made it through. God saw them through. That's the point here. And we are to be encouraged by them. When sometimes I get around other pastors and I see a guy that's been in ministry for 40 years or more. You know what that does to me? Oh, that encourages me. That tells me, hey, it can be done. It can be done. Warren Wiersbe commented on those witnesses, because chapter 12, verse 1 speaks about those witnesses. He says this: these people are not witnessing what we're doing. They're not looking down from heaven doing, no, no. Rather, they're witnessing to us that God can see us through. Brother, sister, I want to say to you today, keep running the race. Don't give up. We don't know what's around the corner and how God's going to move. You might be in the middle of a swamp. You might be in the middle of a mud hole thinking, how are we going to get out of this? Keep looking to the Lord. Keep at it. Keep moving forward with the Lord. So others have done it. He's seen them through. He will see you through. Keep running steadfastly. Run it. Get up in the morning, you're running it. And then run steadfastly. Don't give up. It's always too early to quit. Finally, I want to say this: run focused. Run focused. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, verse 2. In this race, you're going to endure. You're going to run it. And you're going to run looking to Him. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before Him, look what He did. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Run focused. Run with a focus. It's with a focal point, focused on Jesus. And it says here He's the author and perfecter of our faith. He's the initiator of faith, and He's the finisher of faith. You know, if you've come to Christ, God has begun a good work in you, and He's going to finish that work. He's going to finish that work. A good brother, friend of mine, said to me, you know, there's a lot of things in life I've started, projects I've started that I've never finished, but I'll tell you what, God started something, and He's going to finish it. He's going to see me through. He's going to work it out. He's going to grow me. But He's the author. He sought us out. Think of it. He saved us. He finishes. He'll complete the work in us. Our souls are safe and secure in Him forevermore. He is the bread of life that feeds our soul and the well of water that never runs dry. He's to be the focal point. He knows our fears, every one of them. He knows our failures, every one of them. But yet he radically loves us in an unexplainable way. I praise his name for that. His grace gives us just what we need for everything we face in life. Do you believe that? His grace gives us everything we need for everything we face in life. He does that. Look to him. Run this race of faith with him as your focal point. Keep your gaze on him. Turn to him. You know, we have to be careful. We have to be careful what it is that has captured our hearts. May it be Jesus. May it be him. Why? We must look to him. Why? Because because one day we'll give a report of our race to him, of this marathon we're involved in. We'll personally see him face to face. We'll give a report. Run with him as your focal point. Don't take your eyes off from him. Secondly, I want to say under run focused, run with great joy. With great joy. Look at the scripture again. He says here about Jesus being the author and perfecter of our faith, verse 2, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. I don't believe the cross was his joy. And I think the verse says that, despising the shame. But now is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That was his joy. Finishing. You know those words he cried out from the cross? It is finished. It is finished. He finished his race. We are to finish. We're to look to him. But do so with joy. Joy isn't dependent upon circumstances. Joy is ours because of the fact that God is in control and he will get us through. We can trust him. While we run, we have our Lord with us every step of the way. When we hit those dry patches spiritually, those hard spots physically, our Lord is with us, working all things out for his glory and our good. Came across a gem this week. It spoke to me. We're talking about looking to Jesus. We're talking now about the joy that was set before him. And I'm challenging you to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. This relationship, when it's right, we can have tremendous joy in spite of circumstances. God's in control. I can rest there. There's something in our Lord's high priestly prayer. I shared this with Pastor Wes earlier this week that got me. So beautiful. He's praying to the Father, and in the last part of his prayer, he's talking about the glory that is going, you know, future glory. And listen to what he says, verse 24 of John 17. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, believers, disciples, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me, for you loved him before me in the foundation of the world. I desire that they also whom you've given me be with me. You see his desire there? I know that I can wear on people and they can get tired of me. Probably true of you. You know, sometimes we need our space. You know what Jesus is saying here? Father, I want to be with them forever. Unreal. That's our Lord. He's the one we look to. He's the one who endured. He's so precious, so beautiful. We can run with great joy. We can. Now, again, I acknowledge there are times we are broken. There are times grief is ours. But the overall picture, I believe, can be just this. You run focused with a focal point. Do it with great joy. With a view to eternity, look at verse 3. By the way, his joy, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He completed. He's a risen King of Kings. Verse 3, consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself so that you will not grow weary and lose heart, with a view toward eternity. When you run in such a way that you keep the eternal things in mind. As you look to Jesus, his life was lived with an eye toward always pleasing the Father. In other words, for the believer, your life is not your life. It's not my life. It's His. It's His life in me. You've been raised with Christ. He's in you, wanting to live His life through you, that you might be on full display for others to witness, with a view toward the eternal. That's what Jesus did for the glory that was set before Him. Colossians 3, 1 and 2 say it well. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, in other words, when you come to faith in Christ, you're a believer. Just as He died and rose again, your life is kept in Him. Keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Maybe we should say, start seeking. Start seeking, or keep seeking. I think it fits. Some of you may be here today and I haven't even thought about the eternal things, how I'm investing the time that God's given me. But keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. This is all temporal. We're going to have a wild game dinner in a month. There's going to be displays up here of trophies. Beautiful. Labored hard for them. The bad news is what? They're temporal. They don't last. They don't last. They get old. They decay. Set your mind on things above, not the things that are on the earth. Boy, and everything's here, right? We see it. We're tied to it. Friends, our thinking needs to be transformed into that which will last all of eternity. With a view toward eternity, you run that way. Notice the hostile environment. Consider Him who has endured such hostility by sinners against Himself. You consider that. Remember what our Lord's life was like on earth. There certainly were those that loved Him, were near to Him. You know, His ministry was an absolute spiritual battle. There were those that didn't take long, that were seeking to kill Him. We live in a hostile world. Remember that. That will help you not to be discouraged. But Christians, this is our environment. There are brothers and sisters this week that will step into eternity by the sword. That's just the reality of it. We have to remember that. Finally, I want to say this. Run courageously. Run courageously. As God's people, we must keep our eyes on the Lord. Grow in our love and our knowledge of Him. Why? Because there's a very real and present danger. It spells it out in the Scripture. It's the last part of verse 3. So that you will not grow weary and lose heart. If you're running a marathon, if you're running that race and there are others running that race, if they become weary and drop out, you know what the temptation is? To do the same. You see the relief. They're no longer sweating it up like you are, and they're relieved for a moment. That's the temptation. To follow those who have become weary, those who would drop out. Probably all of us know someone who started well in the Christian life, but have grown cold and uncaring about their Lord. Oh, that's so discouraging. We have to guard our mind and our focus from discouragement. Where are you looking? Where are you looking? You know, if you look at others, that can be both encouraging. We can take courage, or it can be very discouraging, depending upon person and circumstances. That's why we have to look to Jesus. That's why this relationship with Him is the most vital of all relationships, because everything else flows from it. We have to guard our mind, our focus, from discouragement. The previous chapter, I can be encouraged. Chapter 11. There are brothers and sisters that are doing well. Man, they encourage me. I'll keep my eyes on the Lord. I'll be encouraged by others. But those believers in chapter 11, you know, their faith in God shouts to us that it can be done, that He can see us through. Keep your eyes fixed on Him. His life inspires. His life encourages. His life is beautiful. It does something for us. You know, the next big event on God's prophetic calendar is the catching away of the bride of Christ, the rapture. Jesus will step out of glory. He will come get the church, His bride. I say this often, and I don't think I can say it too much. You and I are very well aware, I think, of what's going on in our country. Now, the church isn't doing so well. Pretty lethargic. We've lost our way. We no longer hold to the Word of God as is written out. There's just this pressure to soften the message. But I want you to know, when Jesus steps out of heaven to come get his bride will be here. I want to say to you, the church is going to survive. It is. So be encouraged with that. She's going to continue, the church, to win souls, to make a difference in communities and states and countries and nations. God's going to continue to work through the church. You and I are told in scriptures that we are more than conquerors. We live for him, in this present day reality that we are more than conquerors, and he, the King of Kings, is exalted to the right hand of God. That's a position of power, of prominence, of authority as the risen King of Kings. I want to say to you and I, let's not forget, he's risen. As such, no matter the trials, the heartaches, the challenges, the disappointments, we have every reason to take courage as we look to him. Friends, grow your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You must. It's going to impact how you do life. I want to close with this. I was reminded in my thinking this week again, when I'm thinking about the Christian life, when I'm thinking about the church, I think about a battle, a spiritual battle. And I don't believe in that spiritual battle that we ought to be saying, well, woe is me, you know, everything's against us, the devil's having his way in the world, and some believers are dropping by the wayside. So, you know, and as a parent, what a mess we got trying to raise kids. Who would want to do that? No, the Lord is able. He's capable. His grace is sufficient. But I was thinking back through an Old Testament story all of us know very well. David and Goliath. David and Goliath. You know, the Philistine army, Israel army, there's a great gap between them, a valley. They're on one side, the other. They've got, those Philistines have this guy, Goliath, 9 foot something, about three quarters up that cross. Intimidating man. He's been bellowing out to the Israelites, hey, send somebody over. The two sides have made an agreement. Whoever wins, whoever would fight Goliath, whoever would win between him and, you know, whatever, is the losers are going to be the servants. Save a lot of bloodshed. Just two guys in a fight, so the whole armies. David, a teenager, shows up. His dad, Jesse, had sent him. He said, hey, go see how it's going. Take some cheese, take some other things, encourage the boys. He gets there, and David, by this time, has a great respect for God, the God of Israel. The God of Israel has empowered him to kill a bear and a lion with his bare hands. And so it is that as he comes to this, he sees the situation. He sees the people of God cowering, the soldiers cowering from this enormous giant of a man. He tells Saul, he says, hey, I killed a lion and a bear. I can do this guy in. And so Saul says, great, we don't have anybody else that'll volunteer. Here's my stuff, wear it. He can't wear it. He's got a shield, all the gear on, he can't move. So what's he do? He takes a slingshot, 5 smooth stones, and he goes out. He goes out. Of course, Goliath sees him, and he mocks him, and he curses him. I love what David says, 1 Samuel 17:45. David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I've come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted this day. I love this. Isn't it good? He's just speaking truth. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down, remove your head from you. Glad the kids are downstairs, right? I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky, the wild beasts of the earth, and all that the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. Then it happened when the Philistine rose, verse 48, and drew near to meet David. Guess what David does? I love this. He ran quickly. He ran to the battle. Why? because his view of God was right. He was looking to God. We are told to look to Jesus. As we look to him, all this stuff will come into right and proper focus, where we understand he's able. He's able. I don't have it in me, but I know one thing. His grace through me, he's going to get me through. That's how we run. So this relationship with Jesus is the most critical relationship in life. It's not your wife or your husband. That's the second most critical, second most important. First and foremost, it's to him. Let's finish here. I think I got my 40 minutes in. You guys are going to go, right? The most critical relationship in one's life is one's relationship to Jesus Christ. So I would say two things. First of all, do you have that? Do you know him? Do you know him? If you come to faith in him, are you trusting him and him alone for eternal life? He came to seek and save that which was lost. We have to acknowledge we're lost. We're sinners. We've missed the mark. There's a Savior. God has provided. I place my faith in him. I'm gloriously saved. Secondly, how are you running? How are you running? Are you entangled with sin? Today is the day to get that right. Are you running, looking to others and forgetting, I need to look to him? You must have your focus on him as your point of reference. It's a hostile environment. Run with a view to eternity. Run steadfastly. You may have come here today, you think, I've had enough. It's too hard. God will get you through, brother, sister. He'll get you through. Keep running. And finally, run courageously. We have every reason to do so. We serve the King of Kings. The King of Kings. He's at a position of authority, power, and prominence at the right hand of the Father. That's our Lord. That's our Lord. Let's pray. Loving Father, I ask that you would help us. Thank you for Jesus, who is our great example in everything. Thank you that in your word you call us to look and to keep looking to him, that we might endure, bear up under a heavy load. Father, some of these people here today are under a heavy, heavy, heavy load. I pray they won't be discouraged, that they will keep looking to him who's able, who loves us, who saves us, who empowers us. Give us courage, we pray, for your glory and for his name. Amen.